On Monday, August 8th, Tall Can Audio hits 1,000 episodes.
Wait, that's still on? Who could possibly still care?
And the gang is all here to celebrate.
It's euphoric. It's got to be close to nirvana. It's outstanding.
For the first time ever, Maddie, Michaela, Rob, and Matt are all live in studio together.
It's happening, you guys! It's happening! Oh, my God, guys! Oh, my God! I wish you all were here!
Is this likely to go well?
Just check my notes here. No!
At least it will make a lot of noise.
Boom. Here comes the boom.
1,000 pods and 1,000 pints.
I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
TCA 1000 drops Monday, August 8th, wherever you find low-quality podcasts.
Fuck, it's out of control. Shit.
I'm not sure what the f*** this is. I'm about to find out.
This is Tall Can Audio.
How's it going, everybody? Welcome back to TCA 701, your Canada Day edition. Matt over here, Rob over there. What's happening today, man?
Man, it's a fantastic day. This is gorgeous pool weather.
Ooh.
Yeah, well, I've already been in.
Yeah, attaboy. On Canada Day, do you have, I don't want to say traditions, because obviously that's overstating it. Is there a go-to beer? Is there a go-to, I like to barbecue this, or just hang by the pool for that? What's Canada Day look like for Captain Blowhard?
Staying at home. Staying at home. I've got to an age now where...
Now this year, you probably could stroll downtown and cast stones wherever you want and be fine.
Kicking tumbleweeds.
Yeah, for sure, man.
I've sunk a pile of money into the deck and the pool.
Yeah.
I have the grandparents coming over. So
yours?
No, not mine.
Probably not.
Barbecuing a little trout.
Yeah, okay.
And drinking some local pints. Nice, man. This is it. And it is the brew revolution.
That is what we're taking down today.
Yes.
Rob did mention that on TCA 700. If you haven't had a chance yet, go back and check that
700.
Out.
700. What an epic show, man.
Honest
700.
God. It was a marathon. Lots to cover. So go back and check that one out if you haven't had the chance yet. Lots of beer talk, lots of sports talk. That's really what we do around here. On this one, can't believe we've gone this far. Have not mentioned Elliot Friedman going to join us today on the pod. You normally get to see plenty of Elliot on Sportsnet's free agent frenzy coverage. And every year, my friends or my family or whatever are horrifically irritated with me for reasons well beyond the reasons they're normally irritated with me, as I'm trying to keep, you know, one eye on the television just inside the basement back at the old family cottage, or, you know, Twitter constantly updating to see who's signed where. And normally I would always be hit with things like, Toronto Maple Leafs have signed Stefan Robidoux, he of two broken legs at 38 years old, to a 3-year contract. Like, oh, that's not going to work, right? But Elliot.
But you have great excitement at the time.
At the time, maybe he'll.
You're like, Stefan Robidoux, that's going to do it. That's the piece we're missing.
Right over the top, man. But Elliot is the guy.
You got no love for my Aki Berg, though, eh? Nothing.
I don't even remember whether he was a free agent or a trade. What I do remember, at the time that Aki Berg came from
Mike
Los
Komisarek.
Angeles to Toronto, was well before Mike Komisarek. He came from the Kings, and the Leafs were very much in talks with the Leafs to get Rob Blake. The Toronto Sun would run a headline like, Leafs land LA Kings defenseman, triple dots, Aki Berg. Like, oh, fuck you.
Steve Simmons is to blame for that. I'm almost positive.
Almost certainly, man. And then the other one, great one was Leafs give fan base the finger, sign Jeff Finger to 4-year deal worth, I don't know, $1.5 billion too much, or whatever the fuck.
after they find out it wasn't even the same guy.
Yeah, we were trying to sign Kurt Sauer or whatever it was, but Elliot Friedman is normally the guy who breaks these, and he is the guy who broke the John Tavares to the Toronto Maple Leafs deal in a head-to-head race with TSN and Bob McKenzie. We do ask him about that and how often trying to be first gets you in trouble. And to be honest with you, I gave him the chance to dance around the Steve Simmons story from a week or so ago with, you know, one of the Maple Leafs testing positive for COVID-19. I said, I'm sure
one
you
one of them.
Yeah.
Austin Matthews.
Okay. Well, if you want to be that guy. And I said, you know, I'm sure you don't want to address this specifically, but how often do you find yourself holding a bomb where, you know, is this newsworthy? Should I check with the team, the player, the agent? Like, what's the standard there? And he absolutely said, no, I'll talk about it and in specifics and whatever. So really excited to have Elliot on the pod today. Kind of a cool way to celebrate Canada Day since we're not doing the free agent thing. It's a good get for TCA, man.
Well, and really in terms of the good listener who I understand we traditionally in the early years were a GTA-centric audience, but as we build here in the Ottawa market.
And across Canada, earliest, really, yeah.
Yeah, but my earliest memories of Elliot are, and really not fond ones, the Toronto-Ottawa playoff series of the early 2000s, right? And to me, I blame Elliot. I honestly look at him and go, I
ain't weird, what so I, did Pat Quinn. Pat Quinn blamed Elliot for a loss too. So,
yeah. Well, but see, to me, Elliot was a Toronto guy, and yeah. So to me, that is where Elliot is first on my radar.
Yeah,
that's almost 20 years ago.
Yeah. Right? Well, before that, he's one of the those OG guys at the Score back when it was first headline.
The Score.
Yeah,
and he with moves a rash over. With a rash Madani.
Lot Tim and Sid both over there doing their thing on court surfing, and they had kind of a cool little thing going. It turns into the Score. He moves on to, as you suggested, Hockey Night in Canada, but he also did some play-by-play for the Raptors.
Oh, I'm not aware of that.
No, it was short-lived. John Saunders was moving on to ESPN, and it was just before Chuck Swirsky moved in, so he was sort of the fill-in guy in between, and obviously did a couple of Blue Jays games back when that was Jim Houston's gig on the CBC. Moves into Hockey Night in Canada. You may also remember briefly a host on the CFL panel on CBC back.
Whew.
Yeah, he's done
back
it all,
in the
man.
Day when CBC was still hosting.
Yeah. So
was Chris Walby on those?
No doubt, man.
Yeah, and I
had to,
for sure.
Had to ask Elliot about his relationship with Chris Cuthbert, who's now moved over to Sportsnet's team. You know, how well he got to know him at CBC and, you know, whether that was how he felt, obviously, about that being a get for Sportsnet now for Hockey Night again. So we got tons to get to with Elliot Friedman of Hockey Night in Canada and Sportsnet, and obviously with a long resume, as we have pointed out here. Just because I'd be remiss if we didn't do it. I'm sipping on a Canadian, man. I'm claiming to be patriotic, even though they're based out of Chicago, as we talked about on TCA 700. I like to drink my dad's beer on Canada Day. Got the normally, that's a very literal thing, as I would go to the cottage and drink all my dad's beer. Today, it's a figurative thing as I drink.
It's a nod to dad.
Yeah, and I don't feel bad. I know a lot of people on Twitter, as we talked about on the last show, saying, you know, if you were truly patriotic, you'd drink Canadian breweries. I do that like 364 days a year, so I'm not feeling particularly
okay. Easy, Matt.
Guilty
easy,
about Matt. It. No, this is where we are, Matt.
The fridge in the green room is always got Molson product in it.
Always.
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 It's not mine.
But
it's yours.
How often does it not have a craft option as well?
Oh no no oh yeah. No no sorry I don't want to confuse the listener. No. Who knows that you are a drinker of more refined beer.
Sure.
Taste. But no, I've also drank your Molson product.
Yeah, it's true.
When I've ran out of whatever I yeah. got,
and usually you come on the pod right after and slam it like, oh, this is bullshit. Drinking one,
but I'm drinking it. Well, it's really because I've already done 8 beers.
Well, as
I'm
we discussed on TCA 700 with the Pink Whitney, your partner saying whatever gets dropped in front of you, you'll throw back if that's what's here.
And she's not wrong. No. Right? Hey, where's that bottle of white wine?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, wait, I'm not normally, but you know what? I am better with more booze.
Really excited that we have Elliot Friedman on the podcast today. Hope you all have an awesome Canada Day, and we'll get to Elliot right now. From Sportsnet, Hockey Night in Canada, Elliot Friedman, how are you doing?
I'm good, Matt. Thanks for having me.
I really appreciate you taking a little bit of time. I guess maybe time is a decent place to start with everything that's going on right now. What are you keeping busy with?
You know, Matt, I still think you try to keep busy, right? Yeah. I think that's part of the challenge. I think this time is not easy for everyone for a lot of reasons. You're worried about your health. You're worried about your job. You know, a lot of people have taken pay cuts at work, or their work has been cut. You know, what basically I look at is you try to keep yourself as busy and do your job as normally as you possibly can. So I'm still writing the blog, although some weeks I've had to, you know, kind of shorten it a bit. We're still doing the podcast. One of the nice things that work has created for me is, and Jeff and our couple of our guys is, the two Ask 31s, the live YouTube, Facebook shows twice a week. It's good. Like we've had some stuff. It hasn't always been easy finding things to talk about it, but you challenge yourself to do it. And I'm going to try to take a couple weeks off after this one, just because if we do start playing or have the players go to camp at the beginning of July, then, you know, all of a sudden it might be a year with not a lot of time off.
Sure,
so
yeah.
If I can get my rest now, I'll take it.
One of the things that we like to do and typically that helps us to lure guests into the studio here in Ottawa is before we get too deep into stuff, we'll try a local craft beer or something like that. I know we can't do that right now. I wonder, when you take a couple of weeks off, if the craft scene is something you're into at all. We had Ray Ferraro and Chris Cuthbert on not too long ago. They both gave out some wineries instead that they were more feeling. Is that something you get into at all? Our listeners say that I'm wasting opportunities by not asking guests about that side of things. So,
well, I have to say I feel cheated here that I'm not getting, you know, a craft beer.
I know.
So I gotta say, I think you owe me one when all able to do this again, Matt. You know, one of the things that I've kind of been doing since the pandemic started is I have been limiting my drinking to 2 days a week. I'm a guy who does like a good beer, who does like a good bottle, a glass of scotch or something like that, or a glass of wine. But I really was worried if I wasn't disciplined, I would turn into a giant human, even more out of shape than I normally am. And you know, B, I just wouldn't be disciplined. So I've limited it to twice a week. So I'm not drinking as much. But I am, like, you know, one of the things I have done is when the pandemic started, I wanted to support some businesses that maybe could be affected. And there's a place in Toronto, I believe it's called the Indie Ale House.
Oh, yeah.
And I ordered like 16 beers from them at the beginning of this. And I'm starting to run out, so I might have to go somewhere else. Sure. They had a couple of I'm a wheat beer kind of guy.
Oh yeah.
I like wheat beers. I like reds. I like pilsners. So anything like that, I will gladly drink.
I liked to tell myself early on I was going to stick to 2 days a week as well, but it's for the pod, right? So sometimes I have to go overboard.
If it's a work excuse, like,
exactly.
you're very lucky, Matt. You work at a job where you're allowed to drink and go on the air. Like, generally, that's frowned upon in my
business. I'm sure Sportsnet doesn't love that much. I mentioned there that we'd had Chris Cuthbert on not too long ago. At the time that we spoke to him, his news hadn't yet been made public, but it came out very shortly afterwards. That has to be pretty cool for you guys. He's obviously one of the best in the business to see him coming over to your team.
Well, it is. I mean, like, at the end of the day, all you want is to try to put out the best broadcast you can for people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's definitely somebody who qualifies. I mean, you know, I think sometimes we get confused and we think that Twitter is real life. It's not. But if you look at Twitter, I mean, just at least for that sample of it, people and fans seem to be really happy. And if people think it's going to make your broadcast better, then, of course, you support it.
I want to walk through your career a little bit with you, but maybe we can jump ahead here just a little bit. I know you crossed, you know, you would have crossed paths with him at CBC a little bit, but he moved on, I guess, not too long after you arrived. Did you know him very well at CBC?
Chris and I were there at the same time.
Yeah.
When I started at CBC in 2003, yes, I did know Chris. Mm-hmm. You know, at that time, Bob Cole did the early game and CC, as he is known, did the late game. And then also Chris was our big CFL guy, and I did some CFL work on CBC. I eventually, like I did some, sidelines, and eventually I hosted.
Yep.
And I did work with Chris for a couple of years before he went to TSN. Or as we call it, the evil telecom.
Sure, the Rogers, three letter. Yeah, I know.
Rogers is the good telecom, and Bell is the evil telecom.
That's fair. Sure. I wonder if you could kind of walk us through your journey. I know you were a Western guy, University of Western Ontario. From there, just
That's
sort of
true.
Yeah, if you could take us through the kind of the steps or the different stops you had along the way before you got to Sportsnet here.
Sure. You know, I went to Western, and one of the reasons I went to Western was, you know, I wanted to be, like, I was born in 1970, and at that time, in a lot of ways, like, one of the king media jobs was working at Sports Illustrated. It seems so far now, but, you know, that was the way it was then. And I wanted to be a writer. I wanted to be a sports writer. And one thing that Western had was a student newspaper, the Gazette, that sent a lot of people into the business. So that's one of the major reasons I chose Western. And I went there and I worked on the student paper, and I was sports editor for 2 years, and I was editor in chief for my last year.
Wow.
And then when I left school, I always take clear pains to point out I never graduated. I don't want anyone to think I'm falsifying my resume, but I left school in 93. And at that time I was hired to start up, there was a guy, an advertising guy in Toronto, and he wanted to start up a monthly all sports newspaper. And he hired me to be his editor, and it was called the Sports Pages, but it just didn't work. It only lasted for 2 years. It was a great experience, but it didn't work. It only lasted for two issues. Oh. And then I lost that job. And, you know, basically for the next year, I was scrounging. It was a challenge to find work. It was at a time when the economic situation in the country was not great, and I couldn't find anything permanent. So I freelanced, and I clawed, and I scratched. And, you know, I tell this story a bit. Like, you know, I found some work, but not enough solid work.
Right.
And then I was, you know, there was a contact at the Fan in Toronto. And I wouldn't take it. I kept on saying, no, I'm going to get this myself, no contacts. And then I realized, I always tell people that's a stupid mentality. If you have a contact, don't be afraid to use it, because if you're an idiot or you've got a terrible attitude, it won't help you anyway.
Right.
Like somebody can open up a door for you, but only you can decide if you're going to stay in it.
Sure.
As a matter of fact, when I started working at the Fan, and that's where I started volunteering, I started at the same time as a guy whose father was the vice president of sales at the Telemedia, which was the company that owned the Fan. And he blew out and I lasted. And, that's basically, I started working at the Fan. I was a good reporter, and that helped. And the Raptors started up, and that helped. And I covered them, and that lasted for 3 years, and it was unbelievable experience. And then the Score started up. It was called Headline Sports at the time. It's the Score now. And I got a job there, and I was there for 6.5 years. And that's when, after the 2003 Stanley Cup final, was when Scott Russell left Hockey Night in Canada.
Right.
And they had an opening, and, you know, they asked me to apply, and I did. And they said, we're asking you to apply. We're not guaranteeing you the job. And I said, okay. And but I applied, and I had two interviews, and I got the job. And, you know, that's, you know, between CBC and Sportsnet, that's where I've been like the last 17 years.
You referenced the Raptors there. You did a little play-by-play as well. Is that correct?
Yeah, I did. I did a few games on TV.
I thought I remember.
And then, John Saunders was leaving, and I was given an opportunity to do a few games because his schedule just became too difficult. But, you know, in hindsight, Chuck Swirsky was the right guy. Like, I can't blame them for saying that Chuck Swirsky is going to be the permanent guy. Like, that was the right call for them.
Right.
Some Blue Jays as well for the score. Do I remember that correctly?
A nod for the score for CBC.
Oh, okay.
I did two or three games. I loved it.
Yeah.
That was Jim Houston's baby full time. I wasn't beating him out.
You said sort of off the top there that you went into this to become a writer. You've referenced now a bunch of TV stops. Was that a conscious choice, or is that just sort of how the cards fell? Did you ever see, obviously you still write the very popular 31 Thoughts blog. You know, was it a conscious choice to move over, or could you see yourself at some point, you know, as you went, wanting to move back, or could you kind of do both? Like, how does that transition happen?
Well, at that time, you know, so that time was 1993, and, you know, there wasn't the power of the internet that there is now. And one thing I tell people who want to get into this business now is, you know, the advantage that you have now that we didn't have then is that, A, you can do everything. There, you know, at that point in time, there wasn't a lot of crossover superstars.
Right.
Now, you know, with the internet, you can, all the tools that are out there, you can be a YouTuber, you can use your Instagram Live, you can write, you can tweet. There's so many different skills that you can have, and there's so many tools that you have to know how to use. And that's the advantage now. I think it's easier to be found now. Back in, you know, 93, you had to go through traditional media, and there just wasn't as much of it as it is today. You know, the reason I got out of writing and got into broadcast was because simply I couldn't get my foot in the door.
Right.
There were big intern programs just before I left school, and the economy was so bad in the summer of 93 that they all canceled their programs.
Wow.
There was only like the Toronto Star, which had a legendary one. They basically canceled it. The only one I think that kept them was the Globe and Mail. And I didn't get it one there. So I had all 22 of my rejection letters I got from newspapers saying, and I kept them for years. And every time I thought my head would get too big, I would look at them to remind myself. Sure. But I lost them in a flood, unfortunately.
Okay.
So that's why I went into broadcast, because for reasons that were kind of out of my control, the newspaper avenue, the writing avenue was closed to me.
Right. As you kind of moved through, you mentioned obviously some sideline stuff for the Raptors and the CFL. You hosted the panel on the CFL, a little bit of baseball, and obviously a bunch of hockey. Was there anything before you got to Hockey Night in Canada where you were, I could see myself doing this for the rest of my career? Or was it always the goal to get to hockey?
No, I don't think the goal was the goal to get hockey. I like doing all sorts of different stuff. I think that, you know, as you know, I think you want to do. I just think that when Hockey Night in Canada came calling, like, it was the biggest show.
Yes.
It's the biggest show, and sports show in the country, right? And you're like, wow, like, you know, you want to do that. I've never been a guy, Matt, who's had a huge long term plan. My mother passed away when I was young. It made me realize that life is fleeting, and you better grab onto it and enjoy it, and make sure that when you hit 50, which I'm going to do this year, you don't feel unsatisfied. That, right, you don't look back at your life and say, "Boy, I wish I would have done this." And I don't have a lot of those particular regrets. So I was more like a I don't have a 5-year plan. I'm going to work hard and see where life takes me.
Right.
And I'm going to try to do the things I enjoy. So I don't know if I could really answer that question very well. It's just that when I got that call saying we'd like to bring you aboard, like, there was no way I was turning that down.
Sure. As you said, the biggest show in the country, it's where everybody's, whether it's hockey or not, that's just the biggest stage, I suppose, here.
Mm-hmm.
What is the transition like? You know, at one point you're doing all these sideline reporting gigs and stuff in all kinds of sports. How do you end up, I know the iDesk is there, but how do you end up becoming the, like, prevalent insider for Hockey Night in Canada? I know CJ is now there as well, doing a great job. But is it just the contacts that you make along the way allow you to develop enough sources? Or, like, what does that transition look like where you end up becoming, you know, more of a studio guy and, you know, with your thumb on the pulse of what's happening around the league?
Well, I think some of that is time. Like, you definitely, you know, you talk about meeting people and making contacts. I, I definitely think that's a huge part of it. Like, I've been at Hockey Night, the two variations, for 17 years now, and that definitely is it. Time is big. But I think the one thing, and I didn't realize it till I was in the position, was how differently people look at you once you work at Hockey Night in Canada.
Right, okay.
And, some of the people, you know, the score didn't have the reach Hockey Night in Canada did, but, you know, a lot of people watched it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was on it a lot. And some people knew my face from there, but there were other people who didn't. And they're like, oh, you're like, I remember when early in my career at Hockey Night, I did a game Detroit at Edmonton, and Brett Hull was still in Detroit. And I didn't know Brett Hull at all. And I just introduced myself and I said, hi, Brett. And I just want to introduce myself. I'm Elliot Friedman. I'm the new guy at Hockey Night in Canada.
Right.
And he's like, oh, you're the new guy at Hockey Night. And he was curious. Yeah. And, you know, I think that's one of the times I realized the power of the name. When you work at Hockey Night in Canada, people look at you differently. And, you get a bit more of their time, you know, as part of the broadcast team. And this happens with every broadcast team. You get a few minutes alone with a coach, or you get a few minutes alone with a GM or a player. And, you know, people might just, hey, this is one of the things that's going to come up on the broadcast tonight. And, you know, because a lot of people are watching, they want you to listen to what they have to say.
Mm-hmm.
And so that really changed a lot. There's no question about it. And I really think that and the other thing too, and I'm a big believer in this, Matt, is the right people are always watching. If you're really working or not working, I think the right people notice. I don't believe you can cheat the person in the mirror. And I also don't think you can really cheat successful people. I think they have an idea of your approach and whether it works and makes sense or you really make the effort. And I think I've always tried to make the effort, and I think, you know, people have kind of recognized that.
Right. What I'm sure you won't want to comment on this directly, but if you'll let me set it up. But within the last little while, there was a reporter in Toronto who outed a name of a player who had come down with COVID-19. And there was all kinds of debate on what the ethics of that were and weren't. And I wonder how many times you've found in your career you're holding a bomb that you're not sure, should I go to air with this? Is this newsworthy, or is it just shock value? Or, you know, what is the kind of value of this, and how do I handle it? Is that something that you've come across, you know, often in your career?
It happens periodically. I don't mind addressing the controversy in the comments.
Sure.
Keith Simmons is a friend of mine.
Right.
And we've spoken about this, but I'll leave that between me and Steve.
Sure.
But I'll just say, like, you know, this year when I was the one who first reported that an NHL player had tested positive for COVID-19.
Right.
And that was late at night. I don't remember what day of the week it was, but I think the story broke around 11 p.m. Because I remember one of the guys I kind of compete against texting me like, thanks for getting me out of bed, jerk. I knew the name of the player.
Right.
And, you know, you have to remember at the time, in the NBA, Rudy Gobert's name had been out there.
Mm-hmm.
Then Donovan Mitchell's name had been out there. And then those players, I can't remember exactly what happened. You have to go back, but I do remember it happening. Those players and some people had pushed back against their names getting out, that it was a privacy thing. And I think that at that time, because I remember looking through it, a number of reporters had said, if, you know, from here on in, if they get a name, they won't tweet the name, or they won't report the name because it's privacy.
Yes.
So I remember thinking about that, and I know I was asked by my own place, like, do you know who the player is? And I said, yes. And I said, will you report the name? And, you know, at that time, I remember thinking, I asked the agent for the player, and I asked the team, and the team said, no, we're not releasing it. And the player said, and the agent said, no, we don't want it out there. So I didn't report it. And, so I reported the story. I just didn't report the name.
Right.
And, you know, I mean, there were, you know, I will tell you, there were a few battles after that report. There were some, but that's, you know, that's life in the big city. That happens. But I just felt at the time that that would be my position, that, you know, I'm not going to report the names unless the person in particular, wants the name out there. And, you know, of all the tests that have come positive since then, I know some of them. I don't know all of them, but I know some of them, and I've never reported a name. And, you know, and I just decided when I heard about the possibility that Matthews was a positive test that I wasn't going to report the name.
Right.
And, you know, like, I'm not the kind of guy who believes, well, this is what I think, so you should all think that. Like, I think everybody, we're all adults here. We all make our own choices. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to admonish anyone else or anything like that. I think people who scream at other people about stuff like that it's just not something I believe in.
Right.
But, you know, like, I think now the one thing I have told people is that I think now it's going to start to get harder not to using names, because if they come back and play, it's going to be obvious, I think, potentially in some cases.
Sure, someone's scratched.
So then we're all going to have to figure out how we're going to do it. So, yes, I mean, there are like there are times in this business that people get mad at you. You know, I think there's guys I deal with. Like, if you get one thing, like, even if they wave a player before they feel like telling you about it, mm-hmm. they get upset at it. And some people are just, they like secrecy. They like to control the flow of information. It's an occupational hazard.
Right. Do you consider, and I've asked this question to a few different guests before, and I always feel weird asking it because I feel it comes off as accusational. It's not meant to. Do you consider what you do in the realm of sports to be journalism? And I ask that because when you think journalism, you think of, you know, politics and important stuff. And granted, like, we spend all our time in the toy store, as a lot of people call it, of sports. But it does sound like as you handle these stories, there is still, you know, a bunch of integrity that has to go into, okay, how do I handle this? What do I do? Do you consider it to be journalism?
You know, I don't, you know what, like, Matt, this is probably not going to be, this is not going to be a helpful answer okay. for you, but like, as I've gotten older, I don't debate these things a lot.
Right.
Like I've kind of, I used to worry about this stuff a lot. Like, you know what, especially when you're starting out, you think, okay, how do other people perceive me?
Right.
And things like that. I think in the social media era, and I talk to a lot of young students about this, is that you have to limit the scope of people who you worry about in terms of how they feel about your job mm-hmm. and the job you do. And the reason is that if you let every like or retweet or comment, whether it's on Twitter, whether it's on Instagram, no matter what social media platform becomes a big platform now, you're going to drive yourself nuts.
Yeah.
Like, you really will. And, you know, I read a Washington Post story about a year ago just about what likes on Instagram and things like that do to young girls in particular.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, like nobody gets through the internet unscathed, right? But there are certainly some people who take a lot more abuse than others.
That's right.
And, you know, I've talked to a few young female journalists about it in particular. And I just say that, you know, you have to limit the scope of people who really affect you. And at the end of the day, I think I answer to myself, I answer to my family, I answer to my coworkers, and I my bosses, I guess, you know, I should say that. And you know, I answer to people in my business who I think you know, are good people who are fair to deal with. And, you know, if they'll say, hey, I don't like your approach on this one. And I really believe, at the end of the day, I really believe the most important thing I ask myself is, when I do a report or anything, am I being fair?
Right.
And I think the toughest thing that's happened now is the speed of social media. You know, you're always worried, oh boy, who, like I'm working on this. Someone, like, you know, just like last week, I was working on Tampa Bay having to close their facility, mm-hmm. and Bob got it a couple minutes ahead of me.
Right.
And you're pissed off. Like, you're like, Jesus, that was something I was working on.
Yeah.
But, you know, at the end of the day, I just think, are you being fair? Are you being fair to people? Are you doing your, are you, or is your approach proper? Can you look at yourself in the, cause like, I only say like, I want people to deal with me fairly. So I got to deal with them fairly. But the other thing I'll just say, it goes back to your question. Mm-hmm. I think that if you're a journalist, you're a journalist. If you are.
Right.
Whether you cover sports or news or entertainment, there are great reporters who cover all three mm-hmm. and more. And there are awful reporters who cover sure. all three. Yep. I don't think what you cover determines if you're a reporter or not. I just think, you know, are you someone who's really interested in reporting? And real reporting, especially on more serious topics than this, is hard work.
Sure. As a bit of a, you know, a sports media nerd, I find this stuff as interesting as the sports you guys are covering. And it was fascinating on Friday to watch as, you know, on the Fan 590, one of Sportsnet's stations in Toronto, they're having the updates and they're not bringing it up. And Tim and Sid are on the air and they're not referencing the player's name. They do keep saying there are reports a Leafs player has tested positive. Whereas on the competitor, TSN 1050, Steve Simmons is on and they're freely discussing the name. And so that's fascinating, right? I remember the day John Tavares signs in Toronto, I'm refreshing Twitter every 8 seconds as a Leaf fan, trying to figure out what's about to happen here. And I'm as fascinated to see, is it going to be Elliot or is it going to be Bob, right? Like, to me, that's as interesting as what's actually happening. Has speed ever gotten you in trouble before trying to be first?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, it has. No question. There definitely is one particular case I can think of where it did.
Right.
Where I got confused about some information and didn't stop and think about it. But there, you know, I understand that it, but you know, I think that, you know, with the Tavares one, it's kind of funny because
you did end up being first, correct?
Yeah. And the funny thing about that one is that I auto delete my tweets after 3 months. I have a program that does it. Oh, not man, because I ever were.
Yeah, I should look into something like that.
I think it's tweet delete. Okay. Like it's easy.
Yeah.
But like, because the way I look at it is, I don't think I ever really say anything that people are going to look back on and say, oh boy. But mm-hmm. just that, you know, things change so quickly. I think it's just better that way.
Sure.
But, you know, that tweet's lost. And I've had people DM me saying, actually, I had one person DM me saying, and I've had people do it and say, hey, where's that tweet? It's gone. And I go, yeah. And I had one guy say, like, could you do it the way you did it? And I want to make a tweet template out of it. So I did for them. I have no idea what they were doing, but,
right.
you know, they're some huge Leaf fan. Can you do this so I can have a tweet that says 7 years for Tavares in Toronto?
Right.
So that was the messaging with your name on it. And I was like, fine, no problem. Yep. And, you know, they were happy. They were a fan. I'm happy to do that. But yes, you know, you're always worried about speed. It's, you know, I, one of the things I find you have to do sometimes is take a deep breath and like on trade deadline day, it's almost like no rules, but other times you have to take a deep breath.
Yeah. I don't want to keep you too long. So the last thing maybe that we could cover here is there anything left that you'd really like to get a chance to cover that you haven't yet?
I don't know if there's things that I would want to cover. I mean, I will say I was jealous last year jealous in a nice way mm-hmm. of all the people who got to cover the Raptors winning the NBA Finals.
Sure.
Like, you know, I've said this before, you know, I left school in 93 just as the Canadians were winning the Stanley Cup. That's the last Canadian team to win the Cup.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope before my career is over and I'm thrown out of the business that I get to cover a Canadian team winning the Stanley Cup. Like that's a big deal. I'd like to do that. You know, but like stuff that like now I don't know. Like, I want to go to a Masters, but I don't want to cover it. I just want to work. Go.
Yeah.
You know, that's a big one there. I don't know if there's. I think seeing a Canadian, being there for a Canadian team to win the Cup, I think that would be the best thing that I could cover.
Hopefully, it's the one in blue, but we'll, I guess, settle for any of them. That'd be good for your employer.
You're gonna get. you're going to get like firebombed in Ottawa if you say that.
I know. Believe me, it's behind enemy lines here. It's not easy. But really appreciate you doing this, Elliot. You know, I reached out and you got back to me right away. I can't tell you how much I appreciate that. And I've heard you say on other shows and whatever that you know, people reached out and gave you a hand when you were starting. I think it's really cool that you now carry that on and do that for other people. Thank you so much for doing that. And we'll definitely, you know, if you get to Ottawa to cover a game or something, when all this is over, we will pay up on the beer and have you in studio.
Okay, Matt, that's fine.
Really appreciate it. That's Elliot Friedman of Hockey Night in Canada, 31 Thoughts blog, podcast, Sportsnet. He's everywhere. Everyone knows who Elliot is. Thank you so much.
My pleasure, Matt. Thank you.
Now that's a tasty beverage.
Thanks for listening. You can get more TCA at tallcanaudio.com or by searching Tall Can Audio on your favorite podcast app.